Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Friday, May 22nd. I'm Olivia Rose. The Alaska legislature kicked off a special session yesterday to continue working on tax cuts for the Alaska LNG project. Whether lawmakers will be able to find a way forward is unclear. The special session comes a day after the regular legislative session adjourned. Lawmakers approved a $1,000 permanent fund dividend, a $200 energy relief payment to eligible Alaskans, plus millions to help schools, local governments, and low-income families deal with the high cost of energy. Lawmakers also passed a variety of high-priority bills, including student loan assistance for Alaska teachers, a wide-ranging crime bill, and a measure placing limits on campaign contributions in state elections. Republican gubernatorial candidate and former Fairbanks State Senator Click Bishop visited Petersburg last week to attend the community's annual Little Norway Festival. While it wasn't Bishop's first time in Petersburg, it was his first time attending the celebration. As the festivities ramped up outside, KFSK's Taylor Hecker asked Bishop how he would stabilize the state's budget and address declining revenue if he became governor.
I'm going to tie your question in now to education funding because it's something that's near and dear and important to all of us. There's a line in the revenue sources book. It's called the Public School Trust Fund. And that Public School Trust Fund, 0.5% of rents and royalties off of oil and mining, oil and gas, goes into that Public School Trust Fund. I want to raise that amount, that multiplier. And what that is yet, I don't know. But, you know, theoretically, if you had another billion in there and you did a percent of market value draw, you could draw off about $50 million a year real comfortably and not touch the corpus and not eat your seed corn, so to speak. And that would almost be like a BSA equivalent adjusted for inflation every year. The next thing is you need to make sure you capture all the federal funds that you can capture. I won't cast aspersions and blame past the current administration, but they didn't capture the highway working capital funds from federal highways. And you can't leave any federal funds on the tables. I've sat on the finance for 12 years, and I'm always looking for efficiencies. And you can't go in there and look people in the eye with a straight face and say that you're going to cut the budget. It's cut to the bone. Now, can you operate efficiently? Absolutely. I want to expand the North Slope. You know, with the president's executive order, the exploration work looks good up there. We need more exploration, more discoveries, and get the pipeline filled back up.
Well, I'd like to move on to education, which you
sure.
already talked about a little bit.
Yep.
In Petersburg, and I'm sure like many other communities, we really care about our school district. And when I talk to administrators, they tell me that without an increase in state funding, we're going to have to start making really difficult decisions. So you've talked to this a little bit, but can you talk a little bit more about how the state could better fund schools while also giving districts more certainty and stability?
Sure. You know, I was in the legislature for 12 years, and there were periods of time when we didn't increase the BSA, but we forward funded it for a year, right? We got to bring continuity back to funding. But also, you know, a lot of people are requiring accountability, and I don't disagree with that. So Public School Trust Fund, if we can get that multiplier increased and get it passed through the legislature, there is your annual BSA increase right there. Lastly, I want to work on the BSA. The BSA needs some work. In one area that I'm very familiar with is workforce development. I've always preached the trades. We don't spend enough in the shop for career and tech ed.
Let's go to our last question about the Marine Highway. Obviously a very vital part of our life here in Southeast Alaska, but the system has been suffering from an aging fleet and a shortage of certified staff to run those ferries. And we know that the public is not satisfied because we've seen this through state-funded surveys. So as governor, what is the path forward for the Alaska Marine Highway system?
Well, I got asked the same question in Ketchikan at public radio and at the newspaper. And I said, my first goal is to take the Marine Highway system off the endangered species list. As a kid that spent a lot of time in Southeast Alaska riding ferries to play baseball from one community to the next. And I would go on a Marine Highway before I'd go on a Carnival cruise. But this ferry thing has been going on for a while, right? And you get a change of administrations and then the next administration comes in and they got a new widget, right? We got to get a plan that will stand the test of time, meaning administration over administration. That's the true measure of success. And first off, I'm going to sit down with the Marine Highways and say, okay, show me everything you're doing on recruiting, because anybody can govern when oil's at $120 a barrel, right? But when it starts getting tight, then you start seeing the issues that we've seen. But the Marine Highway system is important to Alaska. So I'll be working with the Marine Highway, and I want to know what they're doing, how they're doing their recruitment.
That was gubernatorial candidate Click Bishop talking with KFSK's Taylor Hucker. This was an abbreviated version of the interview. To hear the full conversation, visit our website, kfsk.org. Ketchikan expects to see the most cruise ship passengers ever this summer, over 1.6 million. In response to the industry's boom, local developers are building attractions, restaurants, and breweries in Ward Cove, a new docking site for cruise ships north of town. As KRBD's Hunter Morrison reports, the project aims to maximize tourism dollars while alleviating congestion downtown.
You're going to be cheering on, USA.
Donning extra tough boots, brown Carhartt overalls, and a plaid flannel shirt, Joe Williams greets a family who just stepped off the Norwegian Bliss cruise ship.
Welcome to our first guests at our new facility. Welcome, welcome. Oh, yes.
Williams, also known by his stage name Lasagna Joe, is the MC of the Great Alaskan Lumberjack Show, a campy contest where teams of lumberjacks compete in various chopping games with axes and chainsaws. The rodeo-style show in downtown Ketchikan draws in thousands of cruise ship passengers each year. But today, Lasagna Joe and the rest of the lumberjack crew aren't downtown. They're 7 miles north in Ward Cove for the inaugural production at a second, larger venue. It comes after cruise ships began docking in Ward Cove about 5 years ago.
And it's the one industry in Alaska that we don't have to extract something to sell out into the world.
That's Rob Shear, president and owner of the Great Alaskan Lumberjack Show. He says tourism stimulates the local economy by generating revenue and creating jobs.
You know, it's not timber, it's not oil, it's not gold. The only thing we're selling is memories, and they can take it, and it doesn't, you know, we don't have to cut down a tree for a memory.
The two-berth terminal at Ward Cove, which sits at the site of Ketchikan's former pulp mill, will see about 130 cruise ship stops this summer, about 20% of the total. And for the first time, passengers won't have to bus to downtown Ketchikan to catch a show or grab a meal. That's because several new businesses are opening this summer in Ward Cove to ease overcrowding downtown and cater to passengers. Joe Duca is with Alaska Port Innovations, which is developing part of Ward Cove. He says the new businesses breathe life into the old mill and bring a taste of downtown Ketchikan to Ward Cove.
When I was asked to get involved, seeing some of the horrible reviews of the port, because nobody wanted to be there. And so that was really what spurred a lot of this in developing that area.
On a bluff that overlooks the Tongass Narrows, workers are busy putting the final touches on Fireside Feast. That's an outdoor dining experience with covered canopies and open fire cooking set to open this summer.
Here in Alaska, you know, we do the beach bonfires all the time. It's my favorite thing.
That's General Manager Justin Haggard. He enjoys the camaraderie and food associated with Alaska bonfires, and wanted to offer that experience to people who are only in the state for a short time.
We've been here developing for the past month or so, like up here every single day, and we'll get bald eagles flying over. You know when the whales are through that you'll be able to see them perfectly from here. It's just a cool spot, man.
Haggard says he's wanted to develop a culinary experience like this for years, and finally found the right space to do it about a year ago. He says visitors can expect to dine on smoked salmon chowder, wild game, and more. Haggard and his wife own Alaska Spud in downtown Ketchikan. He says the city is lacking food options and wants to provide an alternative for visitors, especially those whose first taste of the island is in Ward Cove.
Yeah, I feel bad for all of them having to be bussed into town when we have this beautiful space here that just needs a little love and development. And we're in the process of that right now. And I really want to bring, you know, more money to Ward Cove, to this area. You know, I think it's the beginning of something really, really cool.
Also in the works at Ward Cove is a zipline adventure park set to open this summer and a combination brewery, distillery, winery. Duca, who's helping to revitalize the area, says other future developments may include a boardwalk, a jewelry store, and lodging. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Hunter Morrison.
Hundreds of people gathered in Hoonah last weekend to officially unveil a new totem pole arch and honor wall dedicated to Hoonah veterans and their families. KTOO's Clarice Larson was there and has this story.
More than 100 people walked off a catamaran and into Hoonah on Saturday morning. They were there to join dozens of other Hoonah residents who gathered to witness the unveiling of two memorials dedicated to veterans and their families. The first memorial is a new archway anchored by two cedar totem poles called Kutias and Tlingit, one depicting a raven warrior and the other an eagle warrior. It's located near Icy Strait Point and welcomes people as they walk down the Seawalk path toward town.
We see strength in these poles.
George Bennett, an Army veteran, says Hoonah's roots in the military run deep, and it's important to pay tribute to those who served.
They give us the strength. When people walk this path, hopefully they will feel the strength that we have given back to our community through our participation to be a part of the armed forces.
Hoonah is home to many veterans. Alaska consistently has the highest percentage of veterans in the country, and Hoonah has one of the highest shares of any town. Former Alaska Native Brotherhood Grand President Marcelo Quinto says it's what makes Hoonah's community unique.
Our people have always been in line to protect our part of the country, and we're very proud of it.
Master artist Gordon Greenwald designed and carved the memorial with help from three other carvers.
None of us are veterans, but we are honored to be able to honor you folks. Without veterans, I feel we would not be free people.
A few hours later, another ceremony was held to officially unveil an honor wall at the Veterans Memorial Park in downtown Hoonah. The park is on land donated by Korean War veteran Stanley Steamy Thompson, who passed away in 2021. The projects were in collaboration between the city of Hoonah and the Hoonah Heritage Foundation. The honor wall is lined with the names of hundreds of Hoonah veterans and the branches of military they served. Hoonah Heritage Foundation leadership says they plan to continue to add names to the wall that might not have been recorded.
I think the honor is way long past overdue.
That's Nakwa Edward Williams Sr., an Army veteran. He stood at the ceremony reading the names on the wall. One is his dad, a combat veteran who served in the Korean War.
You don't realize as a child of a veteran the anguish and the pain that they cause you and you live with. And then you understand their insanity of what they've had to live through and the pain that they had to go through. I did not understand that until I joined the Army.
He said growing up in Hoonah, he watched the community struggle with the traumas of war and the impact it left on the veterans who returned home. He said he's happy to see the community take steps toward acknowledging that pain and healing from it together.
I think for me, the honor comes and grows the more we honor these kind of things. A lot of ugly has happened, whether in war or whether when I came home to it. But this is how we heal. This is exactly how we heal. Or at least I heal.
In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.